This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Well, hello everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. And we are in a jolly mood tonight. We are talking about one of our favorite Christmas traditions.
Christmas carol parties.
Christmas caroling. We are carolers here.
You know, this has got to be my favorite Christmas tradition, Hal. And we have a lot of Christmas traditions because we love Christmas in our family.
Mm-hmm.
And we focus on really a Christ-centered Christmas. We want our kids to see it as the celebration of the incarnation.
Of course it is. Yeah. The best gift of all. You know, the gift of forgiveness from salvation provided by our gracious Heavenly Father.
Yes.
And so, yes, this is something we celebrate. But the neat thing about caroling, besides the fact it's just a fun thing to do, it's a great community type of activity, it is the one thing that's still allowed to go walk up to a stranger's house, knock on his door, and bellow the gospel at him. And they ask for you to stick around and do more.
Well, they don't get mad. They get excited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we knock on people's doors and they say, wait, let me go get my mama. Or, you know, could you please sing one more? Or do you know this one? Oh, that was a favorite when I was a child.
Yeah. This is an interesting thing. I always like to try to find things that tie into stuff, you know, to say, this is about making biblical family life practical. Is there anything biblical about caroling as opposed to just, you know, speaking about the gospel, but is there something specific about this? Can you think of, I can think of two different things.
Okay.
The scripture.
I'm drawing a blank, Hal. Help us out here.
I thought that would be a surprise. Okay. Now think about when you read the book of Psalms and there's all of those little subtitles in there that talk about different forms of Psalms that are about to be presented. And one of them is a song of ascents. Do you know what a song of an ascent is in the Psalms? Okay, there's 15 Psalms. It's like from number 120 to 134, something like that, that are labeled as a song of ascents, A-S-C-E-N-T-S. Mm-hmm. Okay, it traditionally, the Jewish pilgrims going up to Jerusalem for the holy days would sing these Psalms as they walked along the pathway.
Really?
Yes, and this was kind of like, this was a holiday, part of the holidays is as they're approaching for Passover or the Festival of Booths or whatever, they would sing these encouraging, hopeful psalms.
Okay, that is fascinating.
Isn't
Hal,
that
you
neat?
Are amazing. You are always coming up with new things. We've been married 30 years. How in the world do you still know things I haven't heard yet?
Well, you know what? It's just interesting going through life. That's all. That's all I can say on that. But you know what? There's a New Testament thing in here too.
Okay. Now, I don't believe you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, this is a more general thing, but in the book of Ephesians, but I'm going to read the parallel passage in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, where it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Now, we've heard that, and you know, that's in the debate about, you know, what kind of songs do you use, what kind of music you use in church.
True.
But one of the things I find interesting about that is that Paul brings in everything. You know, it's not just like some people are exclusive psalmody. We only sing the psalms. That's God's hymn book, okay? And then there's others who say, no, psalms are good, hymns are good, but, you know, the modern music we don't like. But you know what Paul says? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, all of these things that we sing and make melody in our hearts with grace and joy and speaking the word of Christ. And the interesting thing I like about that, too, is he points out that we are admonishing and teaching one another as we do it. It's not just singing because it's joy, which it is, but
the singing itself teaches.
Right. And if you look at the traditional Christmas hymns, those are some of the most packed theological hymns in the book. And if you don't have a hymn book, go look at one online. Okay. But honest to goodness, the Christmas hymns, you look at Charles Wesley, you look at, you know, all of those things that we normally think about as the good old traditional Christmas hymns, and they are so theological, it is awe-inspiring. And at this time of year, you can go stand out in a stranger's yard in the dark and sing it at the top of your lungs, and they celebrate.
And they love it. They absolutely love it. You know, we live in an ordinary neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is really neighbors have very little to do with one another. I mean, I know a few of our neighbors, we speak occasionally, but really neighbors don't have much to do with each other anymore.
I think our sense of community has changed, and it's no longer the geographical proximity that it once was, but it's our community of interests or our community of, you know, whatever. Our network says our church or our homeschool group or
our job
or our organizations, whatever. And we have these overlapping networks of communication and community, yeah, if you will, that may not include our next door neighbor.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, once upon a time, that it was more common to say, okay, everybody here within a quarter mile radius of my house, I know all of them. I know their families. I know what they do and all the rest, but I don't know much outside of that. It's kind of gone. We've dispersed so much that we have friends, you know, all over this end of the state, and we get together and do things with them. But those in our close neighborhood, we might not even recognize them if we see them in the street.
Yeah,
and so caroling gives us an opportunity to reach out to our close geographical neighbors.
Well, you know, what's interesting to me has been people's reaction to the caroling. Mm-hmm. That the neighbors get really excited about it. And, you know, we've had neighbors say, could you let me know when you're coming next year? I don't want to miss it. And some of them have scrambled around to find gifts or food to pass around.
Yeah.
You know, it's been really neat to see their reaction to it. But, you know, I think that the important part that we want to drive home in this part of the program,
yeah,
is caroling is a tradition that is still accepted. You know, in the English speaking world, this is still something that is accepted that people do.
You know, you mentioned the English speaking world. That's an interesting point because I lived in Germany for a short time. It wasn't, yeah, I mean, just a summer. But one of the things we learned there is that in the traditional, you know, southern Germany, Bavaria, and the place where we lived, it was still very common to have religious processions, mm-hmm, that involved the entire community, except for the strange Protestants who stood there on the side of the road, like
I did.
Well,
they do that in France and, mm-hmm, in Latin America and South America, too.
And I remember when we visited in Austria that some of the homes that we stayed in bed and breakfast, had these chalk inscriptions like on the doorpost, and we asked what they were, and they said, oh, that KMB up there stands for Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar, which are the traditional names of the three kings. And during the Feast of Three Kings in January, the children will go from house to house, and they would pronounce a blessing on your house and put their initials on the door for you, and people would protect it.
I mean, so really, this kind of thing is a tradition of Western civilization.
Yeah, and it's just that the singing part of it is the part that really stays here. You know, a lot of these other things have gone by the wayside or never came over.
What I'm afraid of is that if we don't keep this tradition going, it will die out.
Right.
And then people will be scared if people show up singing on their lawn. Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about how a family can put this into practice. Mm-hmm. Because I think this is a tradition worth preserving. Mm-hmm. It's one of the few truly religious customs that has not, you know, that people haven't managed to get rid of yet.
All right. Well, let's start with that. You mentioned the family. Well, how can a family do this? Well, you know, I think one of the things that's really good about this, that it is a community, not just an outreach to the community, but it's an activity of your own community reaching out to others. And so this is a great thing to invite friends in. You know, one or two typical homeschooling families, and that'll bring you, what, 40 people, right? And so,
okay, Hal.
Okay, I'm being a facetious,
okay, but you know, what let's just tell them what we do. Every year,
okay,
we have a caroling party. Sometimes we have more than one.
Yeah, we've done two some years because we had so many show up.
And only so many people fit in our house.
But,
and
yeah.
The idea is we invite our friends, fellow believers, mm-hmm. to come and celebrate Christmas with us by taking the gospel to our community.
Yeah.
And so let's talk about some practical things that we do to make that happen.
Okay.
One thing is we set the date, how we need to send out our invitations.
Right. So yeah. We have to set a date long enough because Christmas season gets really busy for a lot of people.
It really does. And that can be hard to manage a time that something else isn't already going on. A date that's worked pretty well for us is the day before Christmas Eve.
So December 23rd.
Right. Because a lot of people, all the concerts and plays and, you know, Christmas extravaganzas have already happened by that point.
And yet, a lot of families do things on Christmas Eve, or they have midnight services that they go to. So Christmas Eve is kind of reserved for other things already. And so the 23rd is a good time to say, okay, most of the other big events are done. The last days for rush shipments and such, that's done. Now you're down to the wire.
And so sometimes we do it the weekend before Christmas, or sometime the week before Christmas, often the day before Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
We send out invitations, and this is the practicality of it. This is the way that it works. We invite people to come, and we tell them to come dressed to go out singing.
Yes.
Because if you have little kids and stuff, you don't want to have everybody come in, shed all their winter clothes, mm-mm. and then say, okay, now let's go out singing. You got to get everybody dressed up again.
No.
So we tell people to meet on our front lawn.
Yeah, that we're going to meet on the front lawn and we're going to go sing first.
Right.
And that way, you know, okay. So, yeah, that's a good practical thing, particularly in the colder climates where it's a production getting everybody dressed.
Yeah, I don't know how people live where you have to do the snowsuit thing.
Do you know that?
Yeah. I would have just stayed in front of the fire the whole time. All winter.
I think you just adjust to it. I mean, I think you just have to deal with it.
Tomorrow it's going to be 77 degrees here in sunny North Carolina. So.
Well, that's unusually warm for us that time of
it
year.
It is.
But regardless, yeah, you plan to do the outdoor part first because everybody had to get dressed to come to your house anyway, right?
Now, let's talk about the outdoor part for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We usually divide up into groups because, like, the teens and 20-somethings, the young adults, they often want to go to a bunch of houses. And go a long way away. And so they generally go by themselves so that they can go a further distance.
Right.
The older people, the elderly people, or the people with little kids may just want to go around our little block.
And that works out really well, we found. If you've got... Now, if you have only...
If you have 10 people.
If you only have senior together. Saints, then that's one thing. If you've got all families with small kids, that's another thing. But if you've got a wide range of people.
Which we usually do.
Which we do at this point in life, then that's a good time, a good way to separate it out. And also, I mean, honestly, back to the homeschool family thing, it doesn't take many families to get quite a few people.
Right.
And some people, frankly, might be a little bit disturbed if they turn on the porch light and they find 100 people standing in their front yard. Yeah. So, dividing it up a little bit.
Help, there's a riot in my front yard. I can hear the 911 calls.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
So, I thought the campaign was already over.
Well, we had as many as 150 people at our caroling parties before.
That's when we started dividing it up.
Yeah. And so, we divide up and different groups will take different routes. You know, plan it out in advance. Maybe make a little map of your neighborhood so you can figure out where each group will go. Maybe mark each group on their own map or something.
Well, and we find, you know, we're in a kind of typical subdivision. So if you go around our block and you just went on both sides of that one block area, you're probably talking about, 20 houses.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, you may not want to sing at 20 different houses.
Well, and not everybody's going to be home.
Right. So, you know, the logistics of it in that regard are not really that complex.
Right.
You know, just to say, okay, all you teenagers go at least two blocks away or whatever you say, you know.
Now, we need to take a station break. We got a lot more practical things we want to talk about.
Yes, we do.
But we need to take a station break and talk about our sponsor, SchoolhouseTeachers.com. Schoolhouse Teachers is a tremendous resource. I think I read they have 300 classes now.
They are always growing.
Tons of classes that you can do with your family, and it's like less than $15 a month.
And that's for the whole family. That's everybody. For the whole
family. So you know, we've paid well over $500 a class before for classes our kids have taken online.
Yeah.
This way, you can have one child taking this class, a different child taking that class, and you can be taking a class on photography yourself.
And you know what? If you get started in a class and think, oh, this is not going to meet our needs, this is not what I was thinking it was, there's no problem. Okay, fine.
You haven't lost your money.
You haven't lost any money yet. You know, it's so flexible and it's so adaptable. You really, it's just a resource, you know. It's not a ball and chain.
Right. And it opens up so many opportunities to enrich your kids' education. And you know what? You get the planners free, too.
That is,
kids,
you know,
planners, adult planners, you get all that free. I think that's fantastic.
Well, and so
please go visit schoolhouseteachers.com. Tell them that Helen Melanie sent you, because we are grateful for them sponsoring this program.
Yes, we are.
Now, okay, practicalities. We talked about you might want to have a map of where people are going.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to divide up.
There may be specific houses that you must go to.
Right.
There may be some, you know, an elderly friend or a shut-in or somebody to say, okay, whatever we do.
One of our doctors always looks forward to us coming by.
That's right. You may have something to say, okay, I don't care if it's hailing, we're going to go to this house.
Right.
Okay. And we're going to make sure we go to this house. And if it's somebody that's really important, you might want to do a little legwork ahead of time and say, hey, we're going to be around about 7 or 7:30 this evening. Be sure and be there.
Well, I've thought about having the kids take postcards around, you know, and dropping at people's doors to tell when we're coming around. But, okay, back to really practical stuff, though.
Yeah.
Very few people know all the words anymore. And so it's helpful to provide words. Now, we've made that easy for you because Christ-centered Christmas has all the words, and that is our ebook. You can get it in hard copy too, but you can get ebook on our site,
right?
And it's really inexpensive, like maybe $5, and it has, not only that, it has tons of recipes and planning sheets and ideas for different ways to celebrate Christmas. But one thing it does have is all these song sheets that you can just print them out straight from that.
We did that. We got all of them printed out nice and readable. They're on individual pages, and you can just print out the ones that you want to take.
Right.
And, you know, again, as a practical matter, you only have to have two or three songs to really hit most of the neighborhood. Now, you know,
you might
maybe
be like
tired.
Us. You might sing a million songs.
You might sing a million songs, and I think there's like 12 or 13 different songs in there, but... you know, you can make it as complex or as easy as you want.
Now, you want to encourage people to bring flashlights so they can read the music.
Yeah.
And sometimes somebody will come and bring an instrument. Like, we have friends that play the bagpipes, friends that bring their guitars.
See, we haven't tried the bagpipes with
and,
this yet.
Well, the kids really want to get Rhett out to do that. So, anyway.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about it. Okay.
But anyway, you might have friends that bring instruments. You need somebody with a flashlight. Help people out to see. So encourage people to bring flashlights, and encourage people with small kids to bring strollers or wagons and blankets to keep those little guys warm.
Yep.
Now, so everybody goes out caroling, which is so much fun. And I love to see people's reactions. Now, one thing you want to do is you want to start early enough in the evening. People are way more likely to open their door at 7 than they are at 9:30.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
And so you want to start early in the evening.
And here's another trick. It helps to have a small child knock on the door.
Yes.
We're not talking about your 4-year-old, but, you know, get your 10 or 12-year-old to come knock on the door. And everybody stand a respectable distance away so that nobody says, there's a big hulking man with a beard standing on our porch. What's going on?
You know? Another thing that you can do is have somebody knock and then immediately start singing.
As soon as they open the door.
Or even as soon as they knock, you know, if you sense that people may be cautious about opening the door, you can start singing and they're going to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And we find, you know, that what, about half folks are at home even?
Yeah.
You know, because the people are out shopping. People are doing their normal life. So we don't expect to find somebody at every house. But
they're so excited when they are. It really is such a blessing to see people. They're so thrilled. Mm-hmm. You know, they love it. Mm-hmm. They love to hear it. It's just something that we connect with. You know, you see the old things with the Victorian Christmas carolers. You see carolers in the mall. It's something we connect with the Christmas spirit in a very wholesome, happy way. Mm-hmm. And so people love it. And now, and they often beg us to sing more.
Yeah. And we had them say, oh, my elderly aunt is here, or my husband is bedridden. Can you come around to the back door and sing where they can hear you there? I mean, we've had the sweetest things.
Or like somebody say, my mama lives three houses down. Let me call her. Would you stop there? You know,
that's right. Okay. Here's another practical matter.
Okay.
Pitch pipe, tuning fork.
That's beyond me. You know, I just start singing, but musical people might like that stuff.
Well, you just have to say what's your group like and what are you comfortable with, you know?
How's the musical one? I'm the not.
Well, and it's, you know what? We don't typically do a pitch pipe kind of thing because we've sung enough. We sort of know where to start, but you might want to, you know.
There's a few of those songs that are hard to sing if you don't start on the right note, like Away in the Manger. Mm-hmm. It's something we all learn when we're kids.
For a bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a hard one. Yeah.
You got to start at the right point with that one. But anyway, you can do that if you want to.
Well, it's important that you get at least one person who's confident enough to lead.
Yes, they don't somebody have to needs be, to be in charge.
They don't have to be musically trained or especially gifted, but just to have the confidence to start off and to sing out. And that's the thing. You got to encourage everybody, just sing. Don't be shy. Don't be modest about it. We're rejoicing.
Also, so, you need to decide what you're going to sing at the next house before you get to the next house.
Well, that's what we typically do when we say Merry Christmas and we turn around and they turn off the porch light. That's when we'll say, okay, the next one, let's do the First Noel and Joy to the World or whatever. Yep. You know, and so everybody can ruffle off and find their pages or whatever.
And then at the end. Mm-hmm. We usually sing something like, we wish you a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, we typically, when we go to a house, we'll sing two Christmas carols of some sort.
Now, we're sure to sing those middle verses that have the gospel in them, not just first and last.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, there's so much. I remember a pastor used to say, the saddest thing in the world is to be the third verse in a hymn. Because in a lot of churches, they'd sing, first, second, and last verse, please. And the third verse, you know, you never heard that one. But, yeah, we try to sing all of them. Now, when I say sing all of them, I mean the usual ones.
Because like some the of First them, Noel, you can't sing all of them. There's like 30 verses to that song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but you sing the... But we typically will do two. The exceptionally good ones.
We'll do maybe two hymns, and then we'll do We Wish You a Merry Christmas kind of as a goodbye.
And then yell Merry Christmas and go to the next house.
Yeah. So we don't stay over long. You know, we're just there for... You know, 5 minutes, 7 minutes or so to sing a couple of hymns and wish them a Merry Christmas, and then we go. And that's a nice little break. Nobody gets tired. Nobody feels like, you know, we've overstayed a welcome or anything.
Right.
And we can get around the neighborhood because, like you said, if you started at 7 and you go to 20 houses and you stay there for 15 minutes at each house, you know, you're getting people out of bed at the end of it, and they're not quite so merry.
Right.
So
you
really
start early.
Start early.
Get it done. Now, when everybody's done, mm-hmm. they come back to our house.
Yes.
And we have a party. We have refreshments. Mm-hmm. We love to bake. We have like about 15 different baked goods and cookies and things that we make at Christmas time.
Yep.
And we
those recipes are in the book too, by the way.
Yeah, they're in Christ Center Christmas.
Yeah.
And they're the best Christmas cookie recipes ever.
Oh, and this is a great time to put together a big bucket of punch or tea.
Don't talk to me about punch.
Well, I'm being general here.
No, we do Christmas tea.
We do a Christmas tea.
Okay, Christmas tea is awesome. It's based on tea and it has pineapple juice, and orange juice, and lemon juice, and it's hot.
And cloves.
Yes.
Don't forget the cloves.
Oh, it's so wonderful. It tastes so good when you've been out singing.
That's right. And
but we do a big punch bowl full of eggnog. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we're Southerners. Our eggnog doesn't have anything exciting in it.
Yeah, you can still drive home after two glasses of eggnog.
Yes, we have non-alcoholic eggnog down here. And Christmas tea and lots of baked goods. And I ask people if they would like to bring a snack to share on their prettiest plate. Now, that's important to me because I like... This is the time of year that I get out my Christmas china and all the serving dishes we got for wedding presents, and I want it to be the table to be beautiful.
Yeah.
And so I tell people to bring things on their prettiest plate, and that way I know that it's not coming on a white paper plate.
Right.
I'm a big fan of white paper plates. We use those a lot, but not this time.
Yeah, this is time for the celebration, for the party. Yeah.
Now, if you mm-hmm. haven't collected all this stuff like I have, let me tell you a little secret.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to Sam's Club or someplace like that, and you can get white plastic, mm-hmm. Clear plastic party plates and punch cups that look really nice, but they're really affordable.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get, I don't know if you've seen this, but you can get clear plastic serving dishes
mm-hmm.
at Dollar Tree that look perfect, that look really nice.
Honestly, now I'll put a plug in here. We are not paid for this, okay? This is just pure user reviews here. But Dollar Tree has got some great deals for any kind of party type stuff.
Oh, yes.
And you know what else I noticed in there, too? It's kind of interesting. If you go back in the kitchen section, they have lots and lots and lots of just plain old, plates. Just tableware. And you can get all the wild colors that you would never dare the rest of the year.
Very
for
like
a dollar a plate. And
absolutely.
And just have fun. And so
we will get refreshments and sit around and visit and talk. Often we sing some more. Mm-hmm. Our crowd really loves to sing.
Yeah.
And if the weather's bad and we can't carol for very long, like last year it poured. Then we'll all jam into our house and sing. If the weather's decent, then lots of times the teens and 20s will get out in the yard. They might do some English country dancing out there,
Yeah.
It's just fun. It's just a lot of fun. It's our favorite thing to do during the holiday season. And what's interesting to me is it's a lot of our friends' favorite thing to do too. People have been asking me, when's the caroling party? It's going on my calendar.
It's become part of a tradition amongst our social group, of our class. So our people, what do you want to call them? Our community, and it's kind of funny because in our neighborhood, we're not a real festival driven type of, thematic neighborhood here. This is just a subdivision, but we've got one neighbor who organizes a parade for the 4th of July. There's a neighborhood parade every year, and that's his thing. We got another neighbor who just loves, loves, loves Halloween, and he puts up great big inflatable haunted castles all over his yard and tombstones and everything else, and that's his thing. Well, this is our thing. We do the caroling.
Yeah.
We're the Christmas people. And, there's a biblical example of this thing, and it's a lot of fun. And you don't have to be good at it. You don't have to be trained at it. You just have to love the Lord and love the music and be willing to be just a little bit bold, because the idea of going out and singing.
Well, it's a little scary knocking on strangers' doors, Hal.
I know it is.
But you know what? People really love this.
They do.
I mean, it makes everybody's Christmas better. Everyone loves it. It's a huge encouragement to people. And mm-hmm. I hope you'll try it. I remember mm-hmm. one church that was just a church planet and had just a few families.
Mm-hmm.
And for the whole Advent season, every Sunday night, they would meet at a different family's house in the church and they would carol in their neighborhood.
Wow.
What a great idea.
Yeah. Okay. That's an interesting outreach. Okay. And you can do all kinds of things like that.
Our history club,
mm-hmm.
We live in a small town that normally the sidewalks pretty much get rolled up at 6.
Mm-hmm.
But during the Christmas season, the businesses downtown stay open in the evenings on the weekends.
Yep.
And so our history club would go out caroling in the downtown of our town.
I've known some churches whose youth group went caroling at the nursing homes.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Go out to nursing homes or go out to recuperative places. I forget what you'd call them, but, the therapy centers and such like that where people are, temporarily out there, but they may be away from their families for a while. And, it's one of those things that if you can just get over a little bit of shyness to say, hey, this is a good thing. This is a good time of year. People like this. They enjoy it. And if they don't want to hear us, they just don't come to the door.
Yeah.
And it's that easy. I mean, it's self-selecting. So, we just really encourage you. Think about it.
Do a caroling party.
Do something. Do it in a small way if you want to try it out first. And like I said, if you want to get the song sheets already ready to print.
Well, the song sheets, the recipe, the Christmas tea recipe.
Oh, yeah.
All the baked goods. Go to raisingrealmen.com/shop.
Yep.
Scroll down where it says Home and Holidays.
Mm-hmm.
You can click there. You can download it and just print it straight off your computer. all the song sheets, recipes, everything you need. It has recipes for Christmas baking and for Christmas dinner. Mm-hmm. It has planning sheets. Like, you know, I like to make things easy. And so for all my Christmas baking, it has it all planned out with all the ingredients you need, shopping list, everything.
Right.
And it has it so you can adapt it to your own family.
So, yeah, we encourage you. Go check that out. Another thing we'd encourage you, think about this. This time of year when you're feeling generous and you want to do something to help the world, we can really use some support.
Sure.
You know, we are. This is a ministry. We are out there trying to share the gospel with people and to encourage families to take biblical principles and put them into practical use in their home, not by giving them a bunch of checklists and procedures, but by helping them understand scriptures and how they apply. And the grace of God supplies the rest. And so, you know what? If you like that, if you like that kind of message, you want to see that kind of message go out abroad, you can become a sponsor and a patron. Okay? Yep. Come out to patreon.com/Hal and Melanie.
Yes.
And you can become one of our patrons. Yeah.
P-A-T-R-E-O-N.
That's very good. .com. Yes.
And if you're listening to this during the Christmas season, or I guess any time you want to buy a gift for boys, mm-hmm. go to raisingrealmen.com/gift-guide-for-boys. Mm-hmm. No spaces in those words. Mm-hmm. And get our recommendations on great gifts to give your boys that you can feel good about giving.
That's really good. And I guess for the last word, if you really want to find out what's coming up next or what just happened or what's going on and all the rest of that, you probably ought to get our newsletter.
Yep.
And you can get our newsletter by coming out to raisingrealmen.com/newsletter.
We sign up right there on the front page, raisingrealmen.com.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, very good. Look, I hope that you are gearing up for a fantastic Christmas. I hope you'll think about singing about it to your neighbors, too.
May the Lord bless you. May you have a very Merry Christmas. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being our friends.
Yep. So, until next time, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
Thank you for listening.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/Hal and Melanie or Facebook.com/Raising Real Men. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.